What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing coverage.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now back to the courtroom.
Good morning, everybody. We're back on the record in the state of Florida versus Ashley Benefield, 2020 CF3014. It's Friday, July 26th. I'm getting ready to start for the morning. When we left yesterday, my understanding that you were off to talk to Ms. Brown.
I spoke to her.
All right. Are there any matters that need to be brought up before we bring the jury in?
Not to my knowledge.
Defense?
We're ready.
You're ready? All right. I'm not sure if they're up yet. All right. We're a few minutes early, but we'll go ahead and get started. Go ahead and bring them in. Y'all can have a seat. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Well, you know the usual questions. Did anybody discuss the case amongst yourselves or begin deliberations? Did anybody talk with anybody outside of this jury about the case or do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about?
No, sir.
When you left yesterday, the state had rested its case. Mr. Taylor.
Judge White. We call Faith Brown.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Comfortable in that chair. Pull yourself up to your about 12 to 15 inches from the microphone. It does adjust the level you need it. If you just speak in a loud, clear voice, it'll pick everything up.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Will you tell us your name, spell your last name for the court reporter?
Faith Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
Ms. Brown, are you employed?
Yes.
How?
I'm an attorney.
And how long have you been practicing?
Not quite 20 years.
Do you have a specialty?
I practice exclusively family law.
And in your practice of family law, is email communications traditionally used on behalf of you and your...
On a date, yes.
Okay. Do email communications, or are they employed in correspondence with the various courts that you have matters pending in?
Yes.
Is the exchange directly judge or representative?
Representative.
And their title is what?
Judicial assistant, or JA.
And these emails, Ms. Brown, are they ordinarily sent and received in the normal course of business for your firm?
Yes.
And are they kept under your care and custody?
Yes.
Are the emails preserved at or about the time that they are either received or sent?
Yes.
I'm going to pass to you, Ms. Brown. Now, Your Honor.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Sorry.
I'm going to pass to you what I've marked as defendants in Exhibit 6 and ask you if you would take a moment and review that. While they're reviewing that, in September of 2020, were you representing Ashley Benefield?
I was.
In fair?
Yes, I was.
And what case do the contents of Defendant's Exhibit 6 represent?
This was in reference to the petition for injunction for protection against domestic violence that I filed on behalf of Ashley Benefield and her daughter, Emerson Canny.
All right. Are those emails an accurate, true and accurate reproduction of the emails that you sent and received on that day or those days?
Yes, they are.
Your Honor, I'd move at this time to introduce that as Defendant's Exhibit Number 6 into evidence.
Any objection?
No.
Received.
Thank you. That is a string of emails that covers a range of dates?
Yes, it is.
Would you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Ms. Brown, what day the first email starts on?
Sure. The first date was September 17th of 2020.
And when is the last email?
The last email is when I forwarded the email to my client, Ashley Benefield, on September 23rd, 2020 at 9:30 a.m. But okay. Are you referencing the last email between the three of us in the email?
My next question indeed is, would you be kind enough to tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury who were the participants in this string of emails?
The participants in the stream of emails was Vicki Mechanic, who was the judicial assistant to Judge Diana Moreland, who was the judge presiding over this matter, Stephanie Murphy, who was representing Douglas Benefield, and myself.
And it's normal and customary, is it not, to the extent Ms. Murphy representing the adverse party, that you would share all correspondence with between you and the judicial assistant?
Yes, it was a requirement.
Okay. Do you recall, having reviewed the email, was there a particular issue in play?
Yes.
What was it?
We were trying to, initially, we were trying to stipulate to the release of Dr. Brad Broder's report.
And were you attempting to secure a date to do that?
Yes, we were. Well, eventually.
Okay. So I have some very specific questions for you. First, would you tell us whether or not, based on that correspondence, Dr. Broder's report was set for release on September 30th, 2020?
It was not.
In fact, based on those emails between you, Stephanie Murphy, and Judge Moreland's JA, was there even a date that existed at that time for the release of Dr. Broder's report?
There was not.
If somebody testified that the release of Dr. Broder's report was set for September 30th, that'd be accurate.
Sustained.
Would you take a moment, if you don't mind, and read the emails?
Sure. Did you want me to read them out loud or to myself?
Yes, read them out loud and start with the string in chronological order. It covers a 6-day period, 17th to the 23rd.
The 17th to the 23rd, yes. The first email was on September 17th of 2020. It was a Thursday from Attorney Stephanie Murphy to Family Division 4, which was the Judicial Assistant's email address. I was on it as well as my paralegal's email address, Sarah Hulk at myflfamilies.com, and Dr. Brad Broder. It states, "Good afternoon, Vicki. I hope you are doing well and have had a good week. Please see the attached joint motion for release of psychological evaluation and report and correspondence regarding same with regard to the above referenced case. Thank you, Stephanie." Shortly thereafter, same day, the judicial assistant responded, "Received, thank you. Can one of you kindly prepare a proposed order in case the judge wishes to grant your motion?" About 30 minutes later, Ms. Murphy responded, "Thank you, Vicki. I will work on that right now and send it to Ms. Brown for her approval." The next morning, Friday p.m., we received a response from the judicial assistant, marked importance high, that stated, "Good morning, Ms. Murphy and Ms. Brown. Per the judge, she will not sign an ex parte order for release of psychological evaluation and report. The judge will allow an expedited hearing on this motion. I have available Wednesday, September 23rd at 9 a.m. for 30 minutes. However, besides both attorneys being present, the judge has stated that Dr. Broder and Manatee Children's Services must be present at the hearing as well, and must be present at the hearing as well," is underlined. Further, Ms. Murphy, the judge stated that absent showing where the court granted permission for the other motions stated in your September 17th letter to her, the only, and only is underlined, matter being heard on September 30th day is the injunction hearing. And then the next sentence underlined, "Please advise whether Wednesday, September 23rd will work for all parties. Thank you, Vicki Mechanic, Judicial Assistant to Judge Moreland." A few minutes later, Attorney Murphy responded with an email that said, "Thank you so much for all of this information, Vicki. I admit that I did not go back to check what is scheduled for that hearing, so please accept my apology. In my mind, these cases have always overlapped so much that I just took it for granted that the upcoming is just the DVI. I am available for that hearing. I will contact Dr. Broder, and we are trying to track down the correct attorney who represents Manatee County. This represents Sarasota only." The next email was actually assistant at the admin email address to my calendar, September 18th a.m., where she stated, "Ms. Brown is available at 9 a.m. However, she has mediation starting at 9:30. The next email was about 2 minutes later from the JA, stating, "If this goes forward on the 23rd, it shall be via Zoom." Then at 2:09 p.m., Attorney Murphy emailed, "Good afternoon, Vicki. Ms. Brown and I are both available next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Zoom. Dr. Broder is not available as he is out of town on an anniversary vacation with his wife. I have calls into 3 different people from Manatee Children's Legal Services, including the DCF regional headquarters, to find out who needs to be included from the organization in the hearing. We have been directed and redirected to the wrong people several times. Can we go ahead and set the hearing? The next email was about 15 minutes later from the JA stating, good afternoon. No, per my email this morning, the judge stated that Dr. Broder must be present at the hearing. Vicki. So that was Friday the 18th. The next email was Tuesday, September 22nd at 2:20 from Stephanie Murphy, where she wrote, good afternoon, Vicki. Dr. Broder never got back to me regarding whether he could appear at the hearing even by audio only while he is on vacation. So I wanted to let you know that per your prior emails, we cannot have the hearing tomorrow morning. When Dr. Broder did speak with Attorney Faith Brown on Friday, he told her that returning Wednesday night. Is there any chance that Judge Moreland could schedule the hearing for Thursday? We will be in mediation in this case, but we can take a break to do the Zoom hearing.
And what is the JA Ms. Mechanic's response to that request?
Unfortunately, no. The judge has a full docket on Thursday, and even if she didn't, Manatee Children's Services would need to be present as well.
All right.
That was Tuesday, September 22nd. So then on Wednesday, September 23rd at 1:02 p.m., Ms. Murphy, Attorney Murphy, wrote, good afternoon, Vicki. I've spoken with Attorney Kimberly Griffin, who represents CPS, and who confirmed that she is the attorney who will need to be present for the hearing per Judge Moreland's instructions. Now that we know who the hearing needs to be coordinated with and Dr. Broder is returning tonight, can you please forward additional hearing dates and times for this matter? To which the judicial assistant responded about 25 minutes later. Unfortunately, there is no availability before the injunction date of the 30th.
All right. Was there anything unclear about the fact that the only thing being heard on September 30th, 2020 was the injunction?
No.
Was there any chance under any circumstances Dr. Broder's report was going to be released on September 30th, 2020?
No.
I don't believe I have anything further, Your Honor.
Cross?
Yes. I just went through these emails along with you, and you say it's very clear that the release of it was not going to be heard on the 30th. In reading this, it's hard to get that because the last email says, unfortunately, there's no availability before the injunction date of the 30th. But all means if the attorney got the doctor and the appropriate people present, that it maybe could be heard on that date, correct?
No.
Okay. So it was your understanding it was not going to happen?
Correct.
All right. What was your understanding of what was going to happen on that date, on the 30th?
The injunction for protection against domestic violence hearing was going to be held that afternoon.
Okay. So you were going to call witnesses. You were prepared to call witnesses?
Yes.
Okay. And have a full hearing on Ashley Benefield's motion to get an injunction against Doug Benefield. What?
I'll overrule.
I didn't.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
So the hearing on 9:30 was, in your opinion, only to hear the motion to get an injunction that was filed by Ashley Benefield against Doug Benefield, and that was the only thing to be heard on that day?
Correct.
Okay. And through that previously, you had agreed to drop that injunction?
Sustained.
No further questions.
That's all. Just a request to publish the email.
Absolutely. By passing. Can this witness be released?
Yes.
And can the witness be released?
Yes,
sir. Ma'am, you're released from your subpoena. You're free to go.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, ma'am. No,
I'm so sorry.
Pass it around.
Thank you.
While they're finishing up, can the attorneys approach for me? All right, the jury has completed their review of Defendant's Exhibit 6. Mr. Taylor, your next witness.
Yes, sir. The defense calls Ashley Benefield.
As you've heard me tell other witnesses, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Get about 12 to 15 inches from the microphone. It does adjust up, down, left, right. And if you speak in a loud, clear voice, the electronics will pick up everything.
Okay.
Mr. Taylor.
Good morning. Will you tell us your full name and spell your last name, please?
Ashley Christina Benefield. B-E-N-E-F-I-E-L-D.
How are you feeling this morning, Ashley?
I'm nervous.
All right, try best you can, relax, and we'll get through this.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit, Ashley, about where you were born and raised.
I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland.
What type of family values were instilled in you?
Jackson Rowland.
I believe in the importance of kindness, compassion, empathy, on hard work, accountability.
What type of work did your father do?
Jackson Rowland.
I'll allow it.
My dad was a Naval Academy graduate who was a Navy pilot and then started flying privately for the airlines, which is what he still does.
And how about your mom?
When I was born, my parents decided that my mom would stay home to take care of me full time since my dad traveled so much.
I want to ask you a few questions about your childhood. Did you have any siblings?
I grew up an only child.
Were your parents active in your development as a child?
Yes, they were very active in my schooling and supportive of my pursuit of the arts.
Hold on 1 second, I'm sorry. We need some, headsets.
Sorry.
How many?
We need to be this requested to speak up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I misunderstood. All right, Ms. Benefield, yeah, if you could scoot a little bit closer and speak up so the jury can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Do the best you can.
I apologize. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. Do the best you can, Ashley.
Okay.
Do you have any hobbies?
I love art. I like drawing, painting, sculpting, ballet. I enjoy gardening, baking, cooking. Most importantly, I'm a mom.
A high school did you attend?
I'm going to sustain at this point.
I'm trying to establish her valet, Your Honor.
All right, if it's related to something specific, then yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Tell us about your high school, Ashley.
I went to a small private Christian school.
And did you study anything in particular in high school?
I was focused on pursuing ballet.
And was ballet a large part of your curriculum when you were in high school?
Yes, I danced full time. I actually finished my last few credits my senior year with an homeschool program for athletes, so I could dance during the day.
Do you still dance professionally?
No.
Why not?
I retired after I tore my hamstring.
I want to ask you about Doug. When did the two of you meet?
We met August 25th of 2016.
And tell us what your impression of him was when you met.
He was very confident in who he was, passionate about what he was doing for work. He was fascinating to talk to.
What was it, if you recall in particular, that attracted him, Ashley?
He was funny, very smart, charming. We just instantly clicked.
Was Doug in the military?
Yes, just like my dad, he was in naval aviation.
Did he turn out to be who you thought he was?
No, not at all.
I want to direct your attention, Ashley, now, if I can, to the day of the homicide, September 27, 2020.
Okay.
Specifically, late in the afternoon, would you tell us why Doug was at your home?
He came over to help load some of the larger items that my mom and I had kind of pre-staged in the garage into the U-Haul truck.
And were there any discussions between the two of you about the order that these things should be placed in the back of the truck?
Yes, we had discussed that my things would be going in last, right at the front, so they would be easy to get out first. At one point, he had me help him load one of the larger pieces into the back of the U-Haul truck. And when I was up in the truck with him, I realized that everything had been all like mixed together and it was no longer separated. And I pointed that out to him and he got really offended and upset. He said, "It shouldn't be your stuff, my stuff, your house, my house."
Was there a particular demand he made at that time?
He said, "I needed to start acting like a wife."
Tell us at that point how you chose to deal with him.
I tried to change the subject. I could see how upset he was getting, so I wanted to kind of alleviate that.
And how was Doug reacting to your efforts to do that?
He was getting more upset and aggressive and threatening.
Do you attempt to avoid confrontation with him?
Yes.
What do you do?
I was trying to get him to leave. I kept suggesting that maybe we should be done, saying that I was tired, should just wrap it up for the day.
And what was Doug's reaction to that effort?
He heard me, but he completely disregarded what I was saying.
Ashley, would you tell us if there came a time shortly thereafter where there was physical contact between the two of you?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
We were in the living room, and as he came up to me, instead of walking past me, he walked like right into me, like a body check. He like bumped me.
His shoulder to your shoulder?
Yes.
And describe for us, if you can, the force of the bump.
It caught me off guard. I almost fell. I like stumbled.
How was he acting at that point?
He was clearly hostile. He was mumbling under his breath and was glaring at me.
What was your concern?
I could see that it was escalating, and I didn't want him to blow up at me.
Was there a second instance of physical contact?
Yes.
Tell us about that, please.
We were in the garage, and it was very much like the living room. I had just suggested strongly that I wanted to be done for the day, and he, as he came up to me, he walked right into me, again body checked me.
Finally, was there a third instance of contact?
Yes.
What happened?
We were in the hallway, and we were coming opposite directions towards each other, and he had a box, and as he walked up to me, he looked me in the eye, and he drove the corner of the box up into me.
Where?
My side.
Indicating on your right side?
Yes, sir.
In the hip area?
Yes, sir.
What was the result of that?
Scratching. Did it burn?
Moment, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Ashley, I'm going to hand you what's been marked as defense exhibit numbers 8, 9, and 10. Approach.
Yeah, just do me a favor. Whenever you're holding them up, they were facing the jury until they're admitted.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 8, 9, and 10?
Yes, sir. Will you tell us what exhibit 8 represents, Ashley?
It's a scratch right here.
And was that scratch caused by the cardboard box that you just related?
Yes, sir.
When was that photograph taken?
The night of September 27th, 2020, at the sheriff's office.
Okay. And how about exhibit number 9?
Also scratches on my side.
From the same incident?
Yes, sir.
Also taken that evening at the sheriff's office?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And exhibit 10?
The same scratches as in 9. They're just, it's a close-up.
Do these photographs, Ashley, truly and accurately reflect the scratches and bruises you received on late that afternoon on September 27, 2020?
Yes,
they do. Do they accurately reflect how the scratches looked when they were fresh?
Yes.
Thank you. I move respectfully, Your Honor, defense exhibits 8, 9, and 10 into evidence.
Any objection? They'll be received.
What was your response, Ashley, after being struck by the cardboard box?
I apologized.
Why would you have apologized?
Because I could see how upset he was, and I didn't want him to get more mad at me.
Doug, go after that incident.
He continued to the garage with the box.
And what happens at that point?
We started getting into a back and forth about being done for the day and what still needed to be packed, and I wanted to be done, and we ended up in our daughter's bedroom, and he started screaming at me. He said, shut the fuck up. He started calling me names, and he said, I can see what you're doing. You're trying to get me to leave. He said, I don't have to leave. I can stay and spend the night if I want to because I'm your husband.
At that point, Ashley, how did you feel with respect to your own personal safety?
I was scared.
Did you take any steps to try to avoid anything further?
Yes, I ran to try to leave the house.
And where did you run to?
To the front door.
Did you make it?
No.
Tell us what happened.
He stopped me. He grabbed me by the hand and he yanked me back. I'm not really sure how he did it, but he like spun around, so he was in front of me, between me and the door.
So
he said,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He said, where the fuck do you think you're going?
What was your response? Do you specifically recall? Tell us.
I just blurted it out. I said, I'm done and you need to leave now.
What was Doug's reaction to that command to leave now?
He said, you can't fucking leave me.
Then what happens?
He hit me on the side of the head.
Ashley, I'm going to... It's been marked as defendant's exhibit number 7. Tell us what that represents.
It's a picture of my face.
Is it an accurate picture of what your face looked like on that night?
Yes, sir.
Who took that photograph?
I don't remember her name. She was at the sheriff's office.
At the sheriff's office? Okay. Now, what is it about that photograph that shows or reflects the slap or the hit that you got to the side of your head by Doug?
That side of my face is like swollen and puffy and discolored around my eye.
And is your eyelid drooping?
Yes.
On the side where you were hit?
Yes.
Your Honor, I move Fence Exhibit Number 7 into evidence.
Receive.
What was different at that moment, Ashley, than at any time in your prior relationship with Doug?
He had never actually hit me before.
What did you do?
I ran.
Where?
To my room.
Why?
Because I was scared.
Ashley, did you have anything in your room that could protect you?
I had my gun.
Did you grab the gun?
Yes.
As you're grabbing the gun, what, if anything, did you hear?
I heard the door hitting the doorstop.
As if it is open?
Yes.
And what do you see, Ashley, when you look up?
Doug was standing in the doorway. His face was red. Like the veins were bulging in his neck. When he was looking at me, it didn't even look like Doug. His eyes were...
Did he yell anything at you?
He said, "You're fucking done."
And what does he do at that point?
I held the gun, like, in front of me, and I said, "Stop." And he, like, turned, and he got into this, like a fighting stance. He, like, I got low, and he started, like, moving his arms and his hands around, and he was making these, like, jerking motions.
What were you expecting when you were holding the gun out in front of you and you told him to stop?
I thought when he saw it, he would leave.
Did he?
No.
At that point, Ashley, what are you thinking?
I thought he was gonna kill me.
Tell us what happens next.
He started coming towards me, and then he lunged at me, and I started pulling the trigger, and he just kept coming, and I remember trying to move to get away from him, but he kept coming at me.
Ashley, would you tell us why, if you're holding a loaded firearm, you were attempting to move away?
I was trying to get away from him. I was terrified.
All right, so you're firing. He keeps advancing. What happens next?
It was like his feet slipped out from under him and his legs went up in the air.
When Doug hits the floor, what's your immediate reaction?
I ran to get help.
Can you tell us how many shots you fired?
I have no idea. I was in a panic.
Do you remember anything about the shooting beyond what you've told us here?
It was a blur.
Where did you run for help, Ashley?
To my neighbor's house.
What's your neighbor's name?
John Sand.
Ashley, I have to ask you a couple of very difficult questions. You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Ashley, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury why you shot Doug.
I was scared to death. I thought he was going to kill me. There was nowhere to go. I was trapped in my own house. He wouldn't let me leave.
As you sit here today, Ashley, how do you feel about what happened?
Horrible. He's my child. So I'm going to have to explain it all to her.
Judge, I wonder, could we have a minute? Maybe a brief recess, let have her compose herself.
All right, members of the jury, if you could step out for a couple of minutes, we'll bring you right back. Just leave your notes where they are and put them face down. Please don't begin your deliberations. You can use your phones, but don't talk with anybody outside the jury about the case. Don't do any research on the people, places, things we're going to talk anything about. Thank you.
More continuing coverage is on the way.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Press subscribe now.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play. For free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.